Welcome to the Darlington Podcast, a production of Darlington School in Rome, Georgia. Join us as we take a look inside and outside our classrooms and connect with students, teachers, alumni, and more.
Hello, this is Brent Bell, head of school at Darlington, and welcome to Conversations by the Lakeside, a new series of the Darlington Podcast. We're back this week with our second podcast of the new year, and we are thrilled to be joined by Janie Hortman, Darlington School Class of 2003. Janie, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So excited to talk to you, Janie, and find out a little bit more about your Darlington story, and then especially about your work that you're doing today in child psychology and all some of the other things that you are participating in the Rome community. So looking forward to the conversation. So let's just sort of jump right in and tell us a little bit about your Darlington story.
All right. Well, first, thanks for having me. I guess my Darlington story starts, I started here in pre-K. I actually was the first pre-K class at Darlington. So first Dar baby, I think is what y'all call them now.
That's right. Okay.
But came here cause my brothers went here. My dad went here. My aunt went here. So it kind of was a natural progression that I started here. So I came here all the way through senior year.
Great. What were some of the things you were involved in as a student at Darlington?
I was a very low-key student, I have to say. I was on the lacrosse team. My freshman year, I guess, they also started the house system, which
okay.
looked very different back then. I talk to kids all the time, and they're in, like, Thornwood and Neville and stuff, but our house system was just named after the head of house at the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I was in Harris House.
Okay.
Which I don't know what house that even is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the social prefect.
Okay.
So we planned dances and things like that my junior year. But yeah, other than that, I wasn't really in any clubs. I know it sounds terrible. But I found my space later when I was more active and involved.
Good. What? Any favorite teachers that you remember or favorite classes?
I really, really liked when I was in elementary school. I had a lot of favorite teachers then. Miss Tharp actually had twice when I was in lower school, and she was great because she was actually also one of my good friend's moms.
Okay.
Miss Cordell, she was great with little Elmer the Flea. Then in high school, you know, Mr. Kenny is still here. He was my environmental science teacher, mm-hmm. which also was a great class. I think that would be the only science I would take again. but I enjoyed environmental science, and I enjoyed history classes a lot. So those would probably be my favorite class. I had a history teacher, Coach Papura, who is also my lacrosse coach.
Okay.
So I had him on and off the field, and he was a great, great teacher.
Good. And then after Darlington, what came next for you?
Well, I went to Georgia.
Okay.
I always say I went to Georgia before it got hard. So I went there for my undergrad, and I graduated in fashion merchandising.
Okay.
Which is very different from what I do now. But I went to New York for a year, then moved back to Atlanta and managed a little boutique. Well, I managed two, actually, through my span of Atlanta. I lived there for about 12 years. And then decided I was kind of done with the retail world,
mm-hmm.
and went back to grad school and became a children therapist. So I really, really like it now. But once I kind of went through that whole process, I decided to move back to Rome, which I shockingly love. It's been a great fit. So it was kind of a weird up and down story, but I really like telling kids about it because it's not a linear,
mm-hmm.
you know, I wanted to be this growing up, but it works. So you can always change paths wherever you want.
Right. Oh, absolutely. That's mm-hmm. that's great counsel and a great story. So tell us a little bit, are you in private practice? What is that?
Yes. When I was in Atlanta, I was in a big group practice, which was great. I got to learn a lot of different things, but once I kind of got my full license, I'm a full licensed professional counselor, an LPC, mm-hmm. which most people hear. When I moved to Rome, I just opened a private practice. So it's called Growing Roots Counseling, and I have an office over by the bridge with the American flag. So I just see kids. I kind of joke it's age 3 to 30.
Okay.
So a big span of kids. When I really got into it, I thought I'd do younger kids the most. But I found I really like teenagers. Mm-hmm. So I kind of see a span of ages.
Good. So you say you've enjoyed being back in Rome.
I have.
And
yes.
One of the things that I've noticed about your time in Rome is you've been very involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously service beyond self is one of the, the principles or hallmarks of Darlington. Tell us a little bit about your community involvement and how you spend your time in that regard.
Yes. Darlington does, we do a lot of service. And, I said I wasn't really involved at Darlington, but I really was. We did a lot of that kind of service. We had Christmas on campus for kids and things mm-hmm. like that. So I do think I lean more towards that aspect than, I guess, a leadership point. But in Rome, I am very involved with Open Door Home.
Mm-hmm.
It's an organization in Rome that helps foster kids. It's like a group home. So I'm on the board there, and we just try to make it the best home a child can have while they're in transition. And then I'm also involved with Floyd Felines, which is a cat rescue here in Rome. I promise I'm not a crazy cat lady, but it is sweet to see just kind of what they do for, strays in Rome mm-hmm. and cleaning up that. Then I'm on a new board in Rome that's called Cal's Library, which is about kind of bringing literacy to children of, and then trying to encourage them to read through all ages. So getting free books into the hands of kids who couldn't normally get a book. So it's kind of off the model of Dolly's Imagination Library, but smaller scale for a smaller town. And then...
And is it Cal, C-A-L?
C-A-L.
Okay.
Apostrophe S Library. And
is there a way for our listeners to donate books and things
yeah.
like that?
Yes.
What does that look like? Because I'm sure we'd have some folks
yes.
who would be...
Yes, we would take any books,
okay.
children age books. And you can contact me for the books. We're kind of getting started, but our plan eventually is to get like a mobile van
okay.
that has books to kind of travel, but you can go to calslibraryofrome.com or their Instagram and it'll have all that information.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And then I'm in Junior Service League who mm-hmm. kind of covers all of those things. So that's what I do in Rome.
Well, good. That's great.
Time.
We appreciate it. That makes,
yeah.
makes the community better for sure. So, you've had this journey. Obviously the main thing that, is interesting, obviously from these conversations by the lakeside from mm-hmm. our perspective is obviously the time that you spend with children.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting. We've been engaging in a book called 10 to 25,
uh-huh.
Which is how this particular psychologist professor at the University of Texas defines sort of childhood, puberty kind of starts at 10 and a 10-year-old and a 25-year-old are motivated in the same way. So, interesting to hear 3 to 30 is right. Mm-hmm. Also, could be considered childhood in some ways. And,
yeah.
and
I'm 40 and I'm still a child.
That's right. That, yeah, we all have some of that, in us, but, I'd just be, interested to hear, a little bit about, When you're working with today's kids, what makes you optimistic?
Mm-hmm.
What worries you? And what kind of is on your mind?
I think what makes me optimistic is the kids themselves. They're so eager. I think they're eager to participate in society. They're eager to just have their own role, which is very exciting, and I think they're also very eager to understand themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to go talk to somebody. They don't necessarily want a diagnosis all the time, but they just want to be able to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is pretty normal. talking to someone that's not your parent is,
right.
is healthy. Mm-hmm. But I also see a big trend in this generation of just they want to understand what's going on in their head, or they have a big feeling, they want to understand what that is. And they don't find it a needed thing to hide it, I guess the best way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to understand and show it and talk about it, which is very encouraging, because, you know, in the past people tend to hide things or not mm-hmm. talk about it or shove mm-hmm. it or stuff it.
Right.
But this generation does not. I feel like they live out loud a lot. So that's encouraging. I think this also comes hand in hand. What's discouraging is the pressure that society puts on them a lot, you know, having to have the grades, have to, you know, mm-hmm. the college, the path, the performance, that's a lot of pressure on them. And I don't necessarily think it's parents or teachers or people that put it on. I think it's just the total idea themselves that they see of, you know, well, I want to go here, but I have to have this in order to get there. Or a job, you know, I want to be this job, I have to do this in mm-hmm. order to get there.
Right.
So it's just, you know, pressure in general, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's always a hard thing for them to overcome. But when I say hand in hand, on the other side, they want to learn how to deal with that pressure. So hopefully that can get better.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any general advice for, you know, kids and parents who, you know, can feel that and see that, you know, kind of understanding of maybe external expectations? You know, we yeah. talk here a little bit about at Darlington about, you know, defining authentic success versus mm-hmm. having success defined for you.
Yeah.
I you know, even people that you're not advice. You're not seeing or talking to mm-hmm. specifically, but what would some of your advice be for
yeah.
trying to manage that?
I actually really like that phrase you just said, the authentic success, because success is so different for every person. And for them to be able to find their own path is great. Like, you know, especially for, I guess, just a high schooler kid, there's not one college that fits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Every single college could fit every kid in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
The same two kids could go to the University of Georgia and have two completely different experiences.
Right.
So they don't have to go one place. I think that's a very important lesson of let the child figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't expect them to go to one place just because it's on a list or
right.
that it's free. Although, believe me, free is excellent. I went to Georgia. but, you know, there's scholarships and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think being able to let them fail is also very important.
Mm-hmm.
Letting them fumble and not always have to be perfect. Encouraging them to take a day off if they're so high pressure. You know, kind of as a consequence, make them skip a day of school. You know, I know that sounds terrible, but it also helps them realize it's not everything.
Mm-hmm.
So help them relax in that manner. Helps them take a breath.
Yeah.
And helps them take some pressure off themselves, because they realize, okay, once I do take that step back or I do fail, I'm still okay. I actually have the strength to rebound, and mm-hmm. I have the strength to still continue, and I might find something that I enjoy more than just kind of pushing myself into something that I'm not enjoying as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Great. Go back a little bit. I'm curious. You talked about children being able and interested in kind of living out loud.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, adults
mm-hmm.
may stereotype kids into using their screens
mm-hmm.
as their kind of methods of communication, or avoiding even face-to-face communication,
yeah.
Talking on the phone versus texting.
Mm-hmm.
Any counsel or wisdom for schools or adults in thinking about how to in their worlds engage someone who wants to be engaged but maybe we're going on an assumption that they don't.
Yeah.
Because people are telling us.
That they just want to be on their phones.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, God, technology is such a, I don't know, subject. You know, we're all still learning what it's doing. And I think it's all still learning what effects it's going to have.
Mm-hmm.
One thing promising I do see, a lot of upper high schooler kids and even college kids now, if you talk to them, they would say, I wish I didn't have a phone when I was younger.
Right.
I mm-hmm. wish I didn't have a phone or all access when I was so young, because they're realizing what effect it did have on them. And so I find that so fascinating that they're already forming that opinion. So, you know, one thing, you know, for parents to try to curtail that, you know, they do have some control over that. I know it's so hard when everyone mm-hmm. in their class has a phone already.
Right.
But that could be a pact the parents make together of, you know, hey, let's all do this as a class, have this phone or only have these apps or, you know, whatever that would look like for the class.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can help for kids to learn what technology looks like, what it feels like for themselves, because I think the kids need to build their own awareness of mm-hmm. how technology feels. So as they grow, they can see how it affects them personally, because it's going to affect everybody differently.
Right.
You know, again, one person can be on Snapchat for 5 hours and be fine. Another person can be on Snapchat for 5 hours and be completely depressed or anxious. So to have the child learn that is important for the parents to also foster and teach. I think I got off on a tangent. So back to your question of, how can we engage when we don't think so? You know, by allowing them to put it down and giving them another option,
mm-hmm.
you know, by saying, hey, put your phone up, come join us to do this. Kids might say, oh, no, I have to talk to blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But then they'll do it. Mm-hmm. You know, just mm-hmm. make them and give them another option. You know, you don't just want to take something away and not replace it. So replace it with an activity as a family, or mm-hmm. you replace it with just a conversation. Even though kids moan and groan, kids do want to interact with you.
Right.
That's kind of the thing. So if you give them an option, they will put their phone down.
Mm-hmm. Anything in particular that you're... Yeah, absolutely. Anything that you feel like... you know, kids really want to talk about that's curious to them, you know, where that, you know, a relationship with an adult in general could be a really positive kind of aspect of their growth and development?
Yeah, I think it totally depends on the kid.
Sure.
But, you know, I think kids don't so much always like to be asked questions. I think, you know, if it's the kid themselves, just listen,
mm-hmm.
you know. Try to get to know their world and then let the kid talk about their world.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, I think, also really like to learn about you. So you can share something about your history. Even if you think that child is not listening at all, you would be surprised that they come mm-hmm. back a little bit later and they've heard everything that you said, and, you know, kind of warms your heart a little bit that, oh, they were listening. So, you know, talk about some of your history that ties in with them. Whatever subject they're interested in, try to interact with them, you know, out in the world with that subject. You know, if they like soccer, go play soccer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer, right? you do things that kids
sure.
like.
Sure, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you'd be surprised how lost that actually is these days.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we are so busy doing activities. But I would say just slow down and listen to your kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's 101, right?
Well, but it's easier said than done sometimes too, right?
It is. I get that.
Absolutely. You know, in this 10 to 25 book, he talks about, you know, what motivates, you know, kids in that age range is status, respect, and belonging.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that? Just so, not having read the book or any of that sort of thing, but just...
Belonging,
mm-hmm.
Being heard, being understood, that would hit all those things I just said.
Yeah.
Making it feel like someone is understanding who they are, you know, so that comes with just listening, mm-hmm. not asking questions, not trying to correct or fix something. That's just listening. The second one?
Respect.
Mm-hmm. That's respect too.
Right.
You know, when mm-hmm. you were just kind of going with someone, I call it wonderings in my room, not okay. questions, but I'm wondering why they did that, or I'm mm-hmm. wondering why you chose that, or I'm wondering how you made that happen. Then the child is also wondering that for themselves. Like, oh, I did that. You know, I made that choice. And they're building their own confidence. And so they're respecting who they are and the choices right. they made. And so without us questioning them or giving them advice on how to do it differently,
mm-hmm.
that's building respect too.
Right.
You know, status, that probably comes from worldly outside things. But all three of those, you can make an argument, they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
a lot of making sure that a child feels competent.
Yes,
is an interesting dynamic there mm-hmm. that I think is really, you know, again, 101 when you're sitting mm-hmm. around thinking about it, but realizing, gosh, how many times have I told them versus let someone figure it out
exactly.
in a supportive role so that they can see.
Yeah.
This setback wasn't the end of the world. Maybe yeah. this is actually an opportunity for growth and things like that. And
mm-hmm.
and obviously we all kind of play a role in that for everybody that we come in contact with.
Yeah.
Other advice or thoughts that you would you're seeing and would share or.
Well, even your comment there, tying it back to the social media and technology,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think we're so quick to say, you know, it's a phone's fault or put that phone down. I think giving the child respect and saying, what is it about that phone that you like so much? Or show me what in that phone you're doing and being curious with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that also can build the belonging and respect. And even some of the status, because I think kids these days get a lot of that from their phone, and so asking mm-hmm. them where that is coming from and kind of again being curious first, just saying it's the phone's fault, put it down,
right?
Mm-hmm. That can be very helpful as you're asking kind of how to join with them
mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. get them to kind of live outwardly versus inwardly. That can help.
Yeah. One of the things that obviously is continues to linger, I guess, if you will, in the world of education, kind of in the, I guess, I don't know, we're still in a post-COVID world,
mm-hmm.
Is this idea of it's easier just to sort of opt out, which has some real positives to the point you made earlier about kind of, you know, trying to avoid doing things because you think other people want you to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And it also seems to have some downsides around like attendance
mm-hmm.
and sort of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you see or sense any of that and have any suggestions on you know, kind of how to maintain a consistent sort of, you know, stacking good days kind of childhood process.
Yes, I've seen a lot of that. I know with COVID there was a lot of virtual
mm-hmm.
and that was kind of hard going back. I think a lot of virtual gave a lot of kids outs, you know, to kind of step back, especially with like anxieties and
mm-hmm.
things like that, where instead of trying to lean into that discomfort, we just gave into it a little bit, which, you know, if that is better, sometimes it is better. But so sometimes we also have to learn to kind of push ourselves a little bit into discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
For modern time, like now, 2026, attendance, I see more school attendance policies kind of becoming stricter, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And without I guess the unintended consequences being considered, like if attendance is so strict, then kids can't leave school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or it'll count against them in a negative way. So the unintended consequences, then they won't be able to get a counseling appointment if needed.
Oh, gotcha.
Or they wouldn't be able to get physical therapy for a sports injury or things like that. So then one, the unintended consequence is mental health care. Then they also feel that pressure. Okay, I can't leave. I have to perform. I have to get the grade. I have to have this perfect attendance score. I have to be at school. I have to be present. And that creates unintended anxiety as well. For that, for attendance policies, if that answers your question.
Sure.
So, you know, I think sometimes we create policies and not look, I mean, you know, it has to be for everybody, but sometimes it can create other issues that we might not think about.
Yeah, trying to individualize the experience.
Yeah, which, you know, it's
while making sure that there's kind of ability to keep the machine running.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. So, good. Interesting. All right. You want to do some rapid fire questions here to finish us up?
Sure. I'm not a quick thinker though.
Oh, that's all right. These are some, how about now that you're back in Rome, what are some of your favorite places in Rome?
Oh, well, I immediately think food.
So okay.
Like Doug's Deli.
Okay.
Yep. Anna's Deli, a lot of food places.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite place on the Darlington campus?
I always like the lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I draw myself to water. So, but we had ASA when I was here.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still have ASA?
And like so, after school activities?
Yeah.
Yep.
One of ours was canoeing on the lake.
Oh, wow.
So, I enjoy the lake.
All right. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Do you have a book recommendation, favorite book, or a book you've read recently that you would recommend either to a friend or a parent? Or?
Well, I'll give you the intellectual answer.
Okay.
For parents, I always recommend The Whole Brain Child. It helps understand just exactly what the title says, The Whole Brain Child. Kind of gets you in the mind of a child. My other favorite is How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and How to Listen So Kids Will Talk is another favorite. Both are, you know, kind of older, but older works. Personally, I listen to Harry Potter every night before I go to bed. It's an audiobook I listen to that I recommend audiobooks to kids to go to bed instead of their TV screen. So audiobooks are my thing. That's my lame answer.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Children not very fast at this.
No, this is perfect. So this is a question that we've started asking the seniors. So I actually meet with all of the seniors at Darlington in small group meetings kind of to talk about their experience here and things like that. But one of the questions we've started asking is, do you recall any students who were older than you who had a profoundly positive experience, positive impact on your Darlington experience? Do you, can you go back into the?
Yeah. I mean, I was on the lacrosse team, so I had a lot of girls on the lacrosse team that were great. One actually still lives in Rome, Jennifer Cruz. Davis. Now she was always just so nice and kind and always positive. And she, you know, when I see her in the hall, she'd be great. So she always, I think that smile would be positive influence on me.
Right.
And then my brothers were both here when I was here, obviously. And so my middle brother, Jeff, and I were only one grade apart. So seeing his friends and, you know, I could listen to them all, but they just were always so watchful over me and kind, and I think every single one of them had a positive effect on me because I was pretty shy.
Okay, good. If you could have a dinner party with three people of interest to you, who do you think you would, who would you pick?
This is another one that I give lame answer to. My grandparents, actually. because I lost them all when in my early 20s, and I would just really like to have dinner with them and ask them how, you know, they were growing up. And I just find that more interesting and more personally effective than having dinner with somebody else.
That's a great, I don't think that's a lame answer at all. I think that's a great, that's a great answer.
I like my family a lot.
Well, they're very likable.
Yeah.
For sure. Anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
Well, I think in general, just for mental health, I really do enjoy talking about it. I think it's very normal to talk about. And I think that's what has encouraged me in Rome, that people do come see me, which is great. And they know that it can be confidential when they do come, but that they're open to it. And so, you know, if anyone ever wants to talk about it or needs to talk about it, they can always reach out. It doesn't always have to be a session. I'm happy to answer any question that they have or any advice that they need to give. And even if they want to get a group together and just pick my brain, I'm happy to do that too. I just enjoy letting people know it's normal to talk about your health.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Janie. And thanks for joining us on the Darlington Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We're glad that you tuned into this episode of Conversations by the Lakeside. Tune in wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and please, if you haven't already, subscribe to the Darlington Podcast. You can check out today's show notes at www.darlingtonschool.org/podcast, and we'll give you some contact information for Janie there in the show notes, and Cal's library, and things of that nature. But again, thanks for joining us. If you ever have questions about today's program or ideas for a future episode, reach out and let us know.
The Darlington Podcast, a production of Darlington School in Rome, Georgia, is a collaboration between the communication and advancement teams, and the intro music is alumni produced. See show notes and hear more episodes at www.darlingtonschool.org/podcast.